We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
In over the line, a two-on-one. Cousins walking in, pass in front of the shot. Goal scores right off the bat. How do you like that? Arturo Salinen.
Howard Simon.
The guy is terrible in this critical game with you blowing a six-run lead in the ninth. For the first time in franchise history, he puts Edwin freaking Diaz in there. You might as well have somebody throw a freaking ball up on a tee, for God's sake.
Jeremy White.
Why did you say that? Why? You're my hero. You come out with stink like that. Poop. Your poop mouth.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, I solved my Mets stress issue. I'm not watching. I find life a lot less stressful when you don't watch things that cause you stress. And so that is off my list.
Didn't go so well for you last night then?
I'm not lying. I haven't watched them since shortly after the All-Star break. Mm. I know, that makes me a terrible fan.
So you missed the big acquisition of Javier Baez.
Oh, I know what they did. I mean, I'm up on the news. I'm not actually actively watching the games because they keep losing. And I could feel the division slipping away. And everybody, I mean, you know, DeGrom being injured, you don't get to watch him every fifth start. So they're falling apart. The only reason why they're still in first place in their division is because the rest of the division blows chunks. If anybody else was halfway decent in the NL East, the Mets would have been passed weeks ago. So, yeah, they've lost 7 of 10. They have no healthy arms, and they're the 29th team in runs scored. So why would I want stress? It's summer! I don't need stress. I just need to talk about the Bills today. Happy Wednesday. Jeremy is off today. He is on Dad Patrol. He'll be back tomorrow. Today, among the things we're going to do, we do have a lot of ground to cover this morning. We have, of course, plenty of Bills football to talk about. Believe it or not, by the way, we'll discuss this more tomorrow. There's a football game tomorrow night. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think the Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night. I always thought it was like a Saturday or Sunday affair. I believe Dallas, would you check that when you get a chance there, Mr. Wilson? I believe Dallas and Pittsburgh are playing tomorrow night. Now, it will be Mason Rudolph against
Kellen Moore.
Thank you. No, he's coaching now. Who is Dak Prescott's not playing. I don't even know who's starting for Dallas tomorrow, but it's Mason Rudolph starting. But Steelers Cowboys tomorrow night, I believe, Hall of Fame game.
I'm trying to remember the one backup from, what's his name? I took the liberties to try and remember this guy's name.
Didn't they have
right
a kid
after he played? Just because
when Prescott got hurt last year, was it a kid from the University of Texas? Was it one of the Texas Longhorns guys that had been on their roster? Why do I think Texas Longhorn quarterback?
You're correct, though. By the way, the game is tomorrow.
Thank you.
And
Dallas Cowboys backup quarterbacks.
I'm looking right now.
For $50, please, Alex. Or $100 or whatever.
Andy Dalton was in the picture.
No, I know, but
year.
He's gone, right. So who? But he didn't come in when Prescott got hurt, or did he? Somebody else played and
Hold
got
on.
Hurt last year.
I know. I tried to take the liberties of remembering this guy.
Wasn't there? Isn't there a Gilbert down there?
Garrett Gilbert.
Garrett
yep,
Gilbert.
That's one of them.
Did he go to Texas? I'll look that up.
He went to SMU.
Well, it was in the state of Texas. It's got to count for
something.
Let's
see here. According to his Pro Football Reference, he was at Texas and SMU. He started at Texas.
So he was at
SMU.
See, there you go. Good.
Yes.
See?
And,
I'm not totally losing my mind.
Hold on. There's the other guy. Yes. Ben DiNucci.
Oh, he played last year. That's right.
Ben DiNucci played last year.
Yeah.
That he did.
Well, that'll be exciting to watch one of those guys play tomorrow night against the Steelers and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Ben DiNucci, Pittsburgh guy, James Madison. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, field, for those of you that care about preseason football, I think, I'm sure, let me think how I want to phrase this. I bet a good number of you would have the same feeling towards preseason football that I do. You're glad football is back. You're very excited about the first game. Games, the first game that is played, the Hall of Fame game, the first Bills preseason game. And then I'm going to guess, for me, typically it's somewhere in the second half. Usually in the third quarter, I'm like, eh. Okay, yeah, I remember. I really don't like preseason football. I wish the regular season was here. Right? We love it because we missed it. And then you realize, man, I could live without these games. Nobody would, shouldn't say nobody. Most of you would not miss preseason football. Having said that, and I said that because, you know, maybe some of you do. If you care about preseason football, if you count preseason football as football, Field Yates from ESPN tweeted out the other day with the Hall of Fame game this week, this begins a stretch where we will have a pro or college football game every week through the Super Bowl. So again, for many of you, it doesn't necessarily count as real football, but if you care about these things, if you like watching preseason football, if you do, good for you. I will watch Bills games, and I'm telling you, I don't watch any other preseason football unless there's some really big story, like a hot shot rookie. Like, I might actually watch some Jaguars preseason football to watch Trevor Lawrence, or, you know, you might typically catch a game on NFL Network. You know, they replay all the preseason games. I might check that out if there's some good quarterback stories. You know, I'm sure I would have watched Baker Mayfield his rookie year with Cleveland, you know, when they were playing preseason games, because we were so involved in the quarterbacks and the draft. I would have watched Lamar Jackson. We were watching them in college every week. Typically, I will not watch anything but the Bills and then watch the first Bills game and go, I wish it was the regular season. Anyway, there you go. You got football every week. So today on the show, we do have football to get to. There was a big brawl at Giants training camp. That was kind of interesting. We'll get to that. We got some good guests on the show, too. We got a lot of stuff going on. But what I want to talk about this morning is, let's assess the Bills' offense today. Because, let's face it, you know, amidst the discussion of, you know, where this season could go, amidst the expectations and the sky-high expectations and the dreams of winning a Super Bowl in the heads of Bills fans, again, yesterday, Sean McDermott in his news conference before practice, which we carried here live on WGR. He was asked about the bar being set so high and a sense, maybe, is there a different kind of sense of urgency or greater sense of urgency in camp this year because the bar is set so high for this team? Brandon Bean was asked about sky-high expectations. It is one of the dominant stories of this camp. When you have almost every starter back, and you don't have a quarterback competition going on, you know, and you're not breaking in a new head coach. I mean, there are very few actual storylines or things that have to be decided. There's three starting spots, right? One on offense, a guard, a cornerback, and the returner. And then it's really just who's getting the final spots at the various positions on the roster. So that's a good thing. There are not a lot of big decisions. There are not a lot of big storylines. Really, one of them is how this team handles the pressure, the sky-high expectations. And I was reading, I don't know, I read a whole bunch of pieces yesterday. Some national media, not surprisingly, are covering Bills training camp. Kevin Clark from The Ringer was in town, and he posted his piece this week. It's more about Josh Allen than anything else. It's a really interesting read. You should check it out. Frank Schwab did a piece on the Bills for Yahoo Sports. Jason Lockenfora did a piece on the Bills about how, you know, they got a shot at winning the Super Bowl for CBS Sports. So there were a handful of things out there, and at some point, many of them or most of them will bring up the idea of expectations and how, you know, when you get to this point, You think of Kansas City, right? Kansas City makes it to the AFC Championship game. They lose to Brady. It goes to overtime, so close. And next year, I mean, a lot of people think there's always that logical, then you make the next step. And boom, they make the next step, and they win the Super Bowl. Now, they get back to the Super Bowl last year, but they lose to Tampa Bay. But there was this, you know, step up, if you will. AFC Championship, Super Bowl Championship, Super Bowl runner-up. And one of the articles I read, I apologize, I don't remember which one, made the point that, you know, the Bills could win the division, win double digit games, and what if they lose in the divisional round? And it'll be really disappointing. It won't be where we all expect the season to go. We expect it to end in the, at least in the Super Bowl, if not with a Super Bowl title. Anyway, so I digress. Let me backtrack to the offense. If they're going to do that, by the way, this is the point I was making. If they're going to get to the Super Bowl, if they're going to win the Super Bowl, we would all, I think, agree they'll be driven by the offense. The defense, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show, time permitting, I would like to talk about that because it's weird. I think the defense could be really good this year. It doesn't necessarily need to be. It could be where it was last year. I mean, the Bills were still a dominant football team last year, and the last half of the season were literally blowing teams out and came oh so close to the Super Bowl, and their defense was not great. It was middle of the pack. Got better as the season went on, but middle of the pack. But I think the defense has a chance to be really good this year. But we don't, I mean, I know I don't. I don't really think about the defense that much. I really didn't think about it going into camp. I don't think about necessarily position battles or what's going on over there because this team, the identity of this team once again in 2020 will be the offense. So I wanted to ask you in general terms, I tweeted this out. We'd love to get some comments at 803-0550 as we'll assess the Bills offense today. Are you expecting more of the same? Will they, should they still be pass heavy? What does the offense need to do better this season? If you think there's anything they need to do better, are there any questions you have about the offense? And I'll get to all this stuff, but generally speaking, we're assessing the Bills' offense this season. As I said, they should, again, be the engine that drives the Bills' train in the 2021 season. Last year was an amazing year. I'm not sure how many of you, even on your most optimistic morning as a Bills fan prior to the 2020 season, would have predicted what actually played out. I didn't. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I knew they'd be good. I knew they would be better. I was very happy with Josh Allen. He was continually trending up, right? He was getting better. Year one, year two, year two, year three. Boom! Gargantuan leap last year. In that Kevin Clark piece, sorry, from The Ringer. As I said, it's really about Josh Allen, and it's funny because, you know what, let me grab the actual wording because the way he opened his article would be exactly how a number of people would have felt about Josh Allen, including myself. So Kevin Clark writes, "I am an idiot." This is not me, this is Kevin Clark writing. "I knew this well before Josh Allen made me look like one, but there's no going back on that now." And basically, he starts the story out by saying he's a guy that a lot of us, myself included, were like, don't draft Josh Allen. Right? I was a big Josh Rosen guy out of UCLA. Don't draft Josh Allen. When they weren't on the Wyoming Facebook page and they were actually on television his final season with Wyoming, typically it was against a Power 5 team. And they did not look good. I remember watching a handful of games. I mean, I think there was an Iowa game that comes to mind, and he was terrible. There were only two times I thought he looked good that season. Again, not having seen every Wyoming game, because they weren't on every week like Oklahoma and Mayfield, or even UCLA, or even Louisville and Lamar Jackson. So, you know, he looked good a couple times. Central Michigan in the bowl game, and then the second half of the Senior Bowl, and that was really it. Anyway. He points out in the Ringer article, citing Pro Football Focus, that basically, you know, they've studied improvements in young quarterbacks, year one to year two, and then year two to year three. And what Josh Allen did last year, the improvement he had last year, was historical. It's never been done. That was the highest improvement in year three for a quarterback since they've tracked this stuff. So let's assess where the offense is. It should be, it still will be, and it still should be, driven by its passing offense. Josh Allen really, he hit another level last season, and there's no reason to believe, statistically, there might be some regression. You know, I don't know if he'll get the same yardage. I'm not sure if he'll complete 69% of his passes again. What he did is not supposed to happen, by the way. Inaccurate guy in college, right? 52% first year here, 58% second year here. And going into year three, I know I said it, Sal would say it, we would talk about it. Hey, I like a lot of things I've seen in Josh's game. He's getting better. He's improving as a quarterback. But, you know, this guy's never going to be a 70% passer. And he goes out and completes 69% of his passes. So his numbers statistically might drop a little bit. But I think he'll still be in the MVP discussion. I think he'll still have a very strong season. I think, of course, they'll still win the division and, you know, and all that other neat stuff. And again, should still be led by his arm and the passing game. I know there's been talk this camp that, you know, teams have had a whole year now, right? No Josh Allen surprise anymore. Teams have had a whole year to watch what Brian Daboll did last year, to watch how he opened up the offense, to see how the Bills evolved into this pass-heavy offense. They were first in the NFL. They led the NFL in passing, in early downs, in neutral game situations. They were a pass-heavy football team. When they built a lead and took a lead into the second half, they didn't just start running the ball and run the game out. They kept passing. They used the passing game to build the lead. They used the passing game to expand the lead. They used the passing game to bludgeon their opponents and put the game away. I would not expect any of that to change this year because, let's face it, that is still not only the strength of the offense, but overall, if you look at offense and defense and special teams and figure out what's the best thing the Bills have going, it's that passing game. It's the development of the young quarterback. It's the confidence he plays with. It's the, you know, I'm not telling you anything new. It's the ability in that arm of his. It's the talent. It's the special skills he possesses, the throws he can make, all the improvements we've seen. It's all come together very nicely. Even I don't get carried away with what I read and hear about training camp practices from Sal or any of the other media. I read everybody who's out at camp, I read as many different stories and articles and recaps as I can. And it sounds like, for the most part, save maybe one day, that Josh Allen and the offense have looked really good. Sal wrote Monday that Josh Allen and the Bills' offense was sizzling. The ball never hit the ground. And, you know, I'm reading again about how Josh is showing, you know, the progressions and the decision making. And when something's not there, he easily figures out where to find an open target and completes the throw. He looks like, and he should, by the way, in year four, he looks like an established veteran quarterback in the NFL who's had success and knows exactly what he's doing. And training camp is nothing more than, you know, just get the rust off of the offseason, maybe get to know a new weapon, for example, Emmanuel Sanders. But a guy like that, you know, you're not working out problems in training camp. He's at that level. So the offense should, again, as I said, with him leading the way, and you would look, should be the driver of the train. And why not? You would look at the Bills passing game, and the whole thing about teams have had a year. They know Josh Allen. They know Daboll. They know they're going to throw the ball. They know the Bills, at least last year, love to use four receiver sets, you know, 10 personnel, 11 personnel, very heavy percentage usage of those personnel groupings. I would assume it's going to happen again. I know there's that talk of, hey, this is where I think, you know, I don't think an overcoaching thing would come into play. I think Brian Daboll is, you know, it's the economy stupid? It's your passing game. You know, stick with it. I don't think there will be we did this last year. So you know teams have all that tape. You know they're going to adjust, right? The Bills are getting that question now. Daboll the other day is getting that question. Team saw what you did last year. How do you counter that? Well, I mean, you don't necessarily change your game plan. You don't run the ball more. You don't put more two tight ends on the field. And you can use that in your passing game too. You go with your bread and butter, and you know what? You keep doing it until they stop it. Like, you let teams prove that they have the ability to stop your best attribute, and that is the passing game. Look, the offense, assessing the offense comes down to this once again. That quarterback and the top four receivers, it's pretty good. You know, what other team in the league, I'm not saying the top two, because there are better duos you would point out, maybe Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, whatever was the first one that came to my mind, Tampa. But the depth of the receiving group here, Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, Davis, those four, And now, you know, I would hope there is still a role for Isaiah McKenzie in this offense, if you want to go outside of the top four. Sounds like Jake Kumerow is having a really good training camp. Maybe he gets himself a spot, a regular spot, in that receiving group. The depth, I don't know that any other team in this league, at least through the top four, including Tampa, can match the depth of the Bills' passing game. And that's not including tight ends. It's not including running backs, right? We're hearing about Matt Breida. We had Brandon Bean on the show the other day and asked him about the possible role for Matt Breida. He talked about his speed, his ability, get him into space, maybe use him in screen game, maybe use him on flare passes. So I'm not talking about running backs and tight ends, just the receiver group. John Brown out, Emmanuel Sanders in. This group should not miss a beat. It was really hard to defend last year. There were numerous times where you'd go into a game and you'd look at the matchup and you'd look at the opposing defense and you'd say, hey, man, good luck with your secondary trying to match up against this team. Unless, you know, you're Kansas City and you figured out a way how to stop the Bills. It's really hard to do. So as we're up on a break. So we'll continue assessing the offense, but it should still be, hey, Dable, do what you do, man. Stick to your bread and butter. It should still be the strength of this team. Use your, you know, four wide receiver sets. You certainly have guys, you have enough guys to do that. And use what drove you in those games last year. Pass the ball on early downs. You know, use play action. Do all the things you did last year. I know Stephon Diggs said he'd like to see the Bills hit on more deep passes this year, that he didn't connect on enough deep throws last year. Great. Okay, work that in. Don't go away from the identity of your team, because that's what it needs to be. That is the strength. That is what will drive you. And that's a big part of assessing the offense this season. When we get back, I want to talk about, so there was a lot of talk about running the ball in the offseason. A lot of discussion about that. And even leading up to the draft, right? Should the Bills draft Travis Etienne? Should they think of taking a running back with their first pick? I want to talk about that and get into the offensive line a little bit, because something happened last season that I don't think we didn't really have to talk about it that much. We didn't really have to stress out over it, because it turned out to not be that detrimental. But I think it does go to something where the offense can absolutely be better this year in some respects than it was last year when it scored 500 points. We'll get to that too. So we're assessing the Bills' offense today. Are you expecting more of the same? Will they still be pass heavy? What do you think they need to do better, if anything, this season? I think there are two areas most fans would bring up. I'll get to that as well. Phone lines are open if you want to join in on that. Great. If you have any other questions about the Bills, if you have anything else on your mind, on football, on whatever other sport other than Mets baseball, 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550 on the show today. Sal will be with us at 7 o'clock. He has a recap of the Bills practice from yesterday online, WGR550.com. Day off today for the Bills. Nice little breather for them. We will also be joined by Matt Taylor, Colts play-by-play announcer. Oy vey, right? The Colts? I mean, first Carson Wentz, and now their stud offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, with the same foot injury. Of course, the Colts are on the Bills' schedule, so we're going to delve into what's going on in Indianapolis. Odyssey NFL insider Armando Salguero will join us at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about the Sabres' number one draft pick, Owen Power. Brock Sheehan is the head coach of the Chicago Steel in the USHL. He coached Owen Power there in Chicago. He's going to join us around 9:30. That means a lot of time for your calls. So let's hear it. Grab a line. Join us right now. 803-0550 WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com. Let me see your hands! Go!
young guys got to show up the same way I do. Every morning, they got to brush their teeth. You know, they got to put their pads on. They got to come out here and dominate a motivated man who's trying to feed their family. But if you don't do that, you won't be playing. So at the end of the day, they got to prove themselves. I ain't just going to give it to you. I'm going to coach you up. You know what I'm saying? Point you in the right direction. But at the end of the day, you got to do it for yourself.
That is Mario Addison. Remind me, Brayton, remind me at 7 when Sal is on to have him talk a little bit more. Mario Addison was raving yesterday about Greg Rousseau, Carlos Basham, and I believe even A.J. Epinesa too, like the young defensive ends and how they've looked so far in camp. So we'll have to bring that up with Sal at 7 o'clock. Happy Wednesday. We're assessing the Bills' offense today. Are you expecting more of the same? Will they still be pass heavy? What does the offense need to do better this season, if anything, in your opinion? I want to get to the running game and the offensive line in a moment. The running game theme is coming up from some of your tweets. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. We would love to talk Bills football with you. Jeremy's off today. By the way, he's back tomorrow. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Bob tweeted in, I want the running game to be able to chew up time in the fourth quarter so we win comfortably and not a Hail Mary an opponent drive at the end of the game. Let me get back to that in a second. Todd, I'd love to see them find a security blanket at the tight end. Someone that can run a curl and catch a first down with someone all over him. Secondly, stop the design runs with Josh outside of the red zone. Enough is enough. Away from the red zone. Minus sneaks. Yes, he's very good at sneaks. His yardage was down a little bit last season. I got to go look at his numbers again. I'm guessing he didn't run maybe as much as he did a couple years ago. And here's the other thing, too. You'd actually have to, someone would need to break down for me what are design runs and what are scrambles. Like, you can't just look at his number of carries the last, or in his NFL career and go, okay, make your judgment based on that, because how many of those were designed runs? Quarterback draws or whatever, you know, sweeps, whatever the case may be. One other tweet, and then we'll get to the running game. Tim, I hope they run the ball more efficiently. I don't want them to run more at all. Just have the ability to do it when they want to. With that receiving core, throw the ball all over the yard. Yeah, and I think that'll again be the identity of this team. Right, so let me get to the running game. By the way, to the initial tweet, you want the running game to chew up time in the fourth quarter where they win comfortably. They were winning comfortably last year with the passing game. Now, I mean, it's a problem if all of a sudden Josh is throwing a whole bunch of interceptions in the fourth quarter with the lead, but they were really good at throwing the football. That's actually one thing that went against conventional wisdom. I don't think you see a lot of teams do that traditionally, right? If you get a lead and you're in the fourth quarter, traditionally you would see, I think, most coaches try and run the ball a little bit more, right? Run some time, put some long drives together. You know, don't let the other offense on the field. We've got the lead. The time is our ally, and the clock is their enemy, right? So we're going to run the ball. It usually plays that way. You know what? But the Bills didn't do that, and I'm glad. I mean, I thought I was really impressed. Even as I said, as early as week two, with a lead in Miami in the fourth quarter, they're throwing to increase the lead. Good. Not sitting on a 7 or 10 point lead and saying we're going to run the ball, but throwing, because that's what we do really well, and we succeed, and we complete passes, and we go down the field, and we score points, and expanding the lead. When they were blowing teams, they blew teams out in the second half of the season. Those were comfortable games. I mean, think of the Denver game, think of the New England game, the San Francisco game. They were not building a little bit of a lead and then running just the ball down other teams' throats. They were just trashing them by throwing the football. I do not want to see them change that. I don't think they need to go old school. The other, you know what it reminds you of? All those years when Brady would kick the Bills' butt, right? And they'd have a big lead in the fourth quarter, and A, Brady would still be in there, and B, Brady would still be throwing the ball and be like, what the hell is Belichick doing? Right? Why is he still throwing? You got a big lead. What do you, get him out of there. Nah, I mean, of course, they're just jerks anyway. But the point is, you do what you do best and you put the game away with your strength. And the Bills did that last year, and I don't want to see a change this year. Look, when it comes to the running game, I think one of the tweets hit it. I would think most of you are not looking for the Bills to run the ball more. Why would you? You want them, when they run it, to be better at running the football. Now, they weren't terrible at it, but in light of the boxes they were facing and the success of their passing game and how defenses had to respect that and prepare to defend that, you probably should have been more successful running the football. I do think, so I teased going into the break. We got time? Yeah, we got time. We didn't really talk about this story a lot last year. It was always in like the back of my head, but it was never a major talking point because they were winning and they were scoring on the average 30 plus points a game. The offensive line last year was a wreck. And I don't mean they played badly. I just mean it had next to no continuity. In fact, I believe I have this stat right. The five guys that we thought coming out of camp, right? The Bills always tell us when they're asked about, you know, offensive line starting combinations at training camp, they always say, hey, we're just trying to find the five best guys to play up front, right? I want to say maybe at the Zoom call at the end of last season or one of the Zoom calls with Brandon Bean, he was asked about Cody Ford, and he said something about how at the time, yeah, we still think he's one of our five best offensive linemen. It was probably the end of last season because he was injured and people were wondering about him going forward. When they came out of camp, if you go back to last season, the five guys they felt were their best guys, left tackle to right tackle, I don't think they played one game together last year, right? Morris was out, Feliciano was out, Ford got injured. I mean, I don't think the five guys they wanted actually started and played a game together last year. If they did, I might be wrong on one game, but I don't think it happened. I think somebody was always out of the lineup. From Feliciano, and then, right, and then Morse. Morse gets back, or Feliciano gets back, and Morse goes down, I think, in that same game, right? Feliciano kicks over to center, and then Ford gets injured, and Botker comes in, and he played fine. They didn't get their five guys. So think about that for a second, and maybe that ties into the discussion about not running the ball more, but having more success running the ball. They really didn't have the offensive line they anticipated having. Their best linemen. They had three-fifths or four-fifths, but they never had the entire crew left to right. And hopefully that changes this season. But you know what? Why didn't we talk about it? Well, it wasn't really that big a deal. It's not like Josh Allen was sacked 55 times and running for his life and had no time to stand back and throw the football. Of course, if the pocket ever did break down, the Bills quarterback is really good at making plays on the edge. So we didn't really talk about it that much. They were winning. They were scoring. No big deal. It wasn't a major hindrance to the offense. But if you're in that camp of Howard, I'll tell you what, when you score 500 points and someone asks, what does that group need to do better the next offseason? If you're in that camp that says, oh, I just need to be better at running the ball. You know, okay, I don't need Derrick Henry. I don't need this team to, you know, run the ball 30 times a game. But when they're going to run it, whether you think it's to put away a game in the fourth quarter or just to keep the opposing defense honest or whatever the case may be, when they run, I seem to be more successful. Well, if they actually have their offensive line, I think that's a big factor. I think that was a big problem last year for their running game never really getting into gear, you know? Because if you go back to the end of the previous season, we were feeling good. I was about Devin Singletary. I liked his rookie year. We wanted to see him get more carries. And his role increased over the back half of the season. You know, I know he dealt with some injury issues, but he looked promising. And then last season, he didn't look as promising. And as the season played out, I think many of you would have thought, you know, I like Moss. Let's just make him running back number one and Singletary number two. Now, I don't know how the carries are going to play out this season. That'll be interesting to see. Devin Singletary, by all reports, had a phenomenal offseason. You know, he's come back in great shape. He worked with some folks in the offseason to try and work on some explosiveness, some quickness in his game. He's, you know, running a little bit more north-south, not dancing around as much. He's quicker to the hole. So the reports early on are promising about Singletary. Maybe he comes back and looks closer to the guy we thought he was 2 years ago. And you have Moss, who had a promising rookie year, and you add the speed of Matt Breida. I think the running game will be fine. I think it will be better. Again, not more often to run the ball, but I think it will be more productive. It will be better at the very least because of the guys up front. I think that was a big problem last year. But again, you know, we didn't have to talk about it because it didn't derail the offense, which is really, you think back on it, that's pretty good, right? We always hear, what do Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott talk about in construction of a football team? They build up front. That's where it starts. They are both in lockstep with when you build a football program, you build it up front, offensive line, defensive line. You know, when they started overhauling the offense, you know, when Bean came in here, he said he had two main things to do, get a franchise quarterback and clean up the cap. But when they started building, knowing, okay, we're going to draft that quarterback and this offense needs to be better, once they got through 2017, they overhauled the offensive line. They went on to the wide receivers, and they added tight ends and running backs, but they overhauled the offensive line because they believe it starts up front. And last year, they never had continuity in terms of a group of five on the offensive line. And that could be a big problem for a lot of teams. The nice thing is, in hindsight, it wasn't for the Bills. So I think they'll be better at running the football. I mean, knock on wood, everybody will be healthy. Assuming Cody Ford wins the guard job, then it would be the five guys we anticipated last year, you know, with left to right combination, with Williams and Feliciano resigning. So I think the running game will be better. I think the only other spot where you could say, okay, the offense needs to be better. They were good at scoring. They were good at throwing the ball. They look to be deep enough again at wide receiver. Sure. Actually, I just thought of a third thing. I was going to say run the ball better. Red zone. I mean, we're really, you know, when you score 500 points, I guess you got to really nitpick to find a big problem. But red zone could be better. A little bit more production, consistent production when they got inside the red zone. Their touchdown percentage. And then the tight end position. You'd like to get more consistent production out of tight end. But here's the thing. Like Dawson Knox, it's a big year for him. We talked a lot about tight end in the offseason, and maybe they could go get a guy in free agency, and it didn't play out. It's a big year for Dawson Knox, but here's the thing. Yeah, I want to see Dawson Knox. I thought he'd be better. He's done a better job in terms of his hands, right? His drop percentage went down from year one to year two. Very good. Now, last year was, I don't want to say it was a wash, but it was a tough year for him. Between COVID, injuries, concussions, it was really a difficult season for him. So I'd like to see a little bit more from Dawson Knox. But in that discussion is how many touches is he going to get in this passing offense? Yes, he would be out there in 11 personnel. No, he wouldn't be out there in 10 personnel. I assume he will be the top tight end on the depth chart, by the way. So I'd like to see, again, what do you need to see from the offense? You might say, one person tweeted in about the tight end. I think that's kind of like the running game. When I need the tight end to come up with a play or be another weapon, great. I'd like to see a consistent person producing at that spot. But in the function of the offense, I don't think the tight end's going to get a whole bunch of targets. I mean, Dawson Knox might average maybe 3 targets a game in this passing, maybe 4 in this offense. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We are assessing the Bills' offense today. What are you expecting this season? More of the same, still going to be explosive, one of the best offenses in the league. Do you think they will and still should be pass heavy? What do you think they need to do better this season, if anything, in your opinion, on the offense? Grab a line, join us, and as is always the case, like I said, if there's anything else you want to get to, great, Sal coming up top of the hour. Hey, it is Wednesday. Brayton knows what that means. It is Hoagie Hump Day. So tweet us today. You know, you're busy, you're getting to work, you're taking care of the kids. Who knows? Maybe you're lounging out back having a cup of coffee. Tweet us at WGR550 when you do use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day, and you'll be in the running to win a gift card from Jim's Takeout, $25 gift card. That's it. Very simple. One lucky WGR listener will win that today. Again, tweet at WGR550. Use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day, and hopefully you get the gift card. Jim's Takeout. Get your hoagie on. Visit jimstakeout.com.
You know, for one, the energy, the excitement, the willingness to compete, the wanting to compete is all positive. I think, regardless of who it is, people who are excited to be there, who want to play football, who want to compete. Right now, the opponent's the defense, their opponent's us. So we're competing against each other. But like I said, we got to do a better job handling it. There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose, you're cool. There's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
Have you ever seen him that angry before?
Yeah, he's a pretty, he can get excited, and I think, guys respond to it, and I think they certainly got the message today.
I think, Daniel, some people would say, starting quarterback, kind of stay out of that. What made you want to run in and participate?
I'm part of the team, and I don't, part of the team, part of the offense, and we're competing, so I don't see myself separated from that.
Quite a day at Giants training camp yesterday. That's Daniel Jones. And I got to read you a thread. Actually, it's a buddy of mine, Ralph Acciano, who used to, years ago, worked at the Niagara Gazette. And he now covers the Jets and the Giants for SNY down in New York. And I'm going to get to his thread. There was a massive brawl at Giants training camp yesterday. I've not actually seen the video. I don't know if there was video of it because there are you know, like, for example, the Bills have portions of practice where you are not allowed to take any video. So anyway, yeah, so they had this brawl. So Ralph tweeted out, Ralph is basically doing play-by-play on Twitter. Now, there are fights at camp, right? Every now and then it happens. The Bills had a skirmish the other day with, Ed Oliver and Spencer Brown. It happens, you know, most of the times it's, you know, a guy on the offense versus a guy on the defense. They square off, maybe some punches are thrown, and eventually it's, you know, the guys come in, they break it up. I don't know that I've ever seen, you will see other people come in and pick sides, but I don't know that I've ever seen a full-scale entire team all in there brawl. But that's apparently what happened at Giants camp. Here's what Ralph tweeted. This was great stuff. A full team brawl at Giants camp. Now here's the scary part, which is why they were talking to Daniel Jones. With quarterback Daniel Jones somehow at the bottom of the pile. I'm not going to lie. I'm okay if a full-scale brawl broke out. I mean, you don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously, but I do not want the quarterback anywhere near that. Like Josh Allen, I know you're one of the, you know, you're a dude, you're one of the guys, brotherhood, all that. If this happens at Bills camp, you run the hell in the other direction. Guy, get away! Do not want the quarterback at the bottom of a pile of massive human beings. But he was. So Joe Judge, as Ralph tweets, Joe Judge is absolutely livid. He got the players lined up now to run. Hard to see exactly what happened. Running back Corey Clement took a big hit at the end of the run. Tight end Evan Ingram retaliated, and then he got popped by Logan Ryan, and then everybody, and I mean everybody, jumped in. After doing 100-yard, I'm just all Ralph's tweets. After doing 100-yard runs, 100-yard runs, not goal line to 10 or 20 or even midfield, he had the entire team do 100-yard runs. Holy you know what. Anyway, Ralph tweets, after doing 100-yard runs and not hard enough for Joe Judge's liking, players are now lined up on the goal line doing push-ups. There is dead silence except for Joe Judge's whistle and his expletives. ... So many expletives. I'm not sure if I was covering camp, if I would have been jaw-drop stunned or trying to hold in as much laughter as best as I could. Next tweet. Giants players are running goal line to goal line again and again. And now back to push-ups. Did you see the movie Miracle? Brayton, did you see the movie Miracle? Herb Brooks?
Yes.
Do you remember the scene where he has those guys after practice?
It's a classic scene.
Skating them into the ground.
Classic.
Who do you play for? Massachusetts or whatever. Boston University. And the, you know, guys are puking and everything. Again, you know, the doctor, right? It was the doctor that blow the whistle. Herb, come on. Again. Great. You're right. Joe Judge did that to the Giants yesterday. He kept having them run 100 yards and then do push-ups. Ralph wrote, Joe Judge is doing his best Herb Brooks imitation right now. Couple more tweets. Now Joe Judge gathered his players around him and sent the coaches away. He wants them all to himself. And now practice is mercifully over. Wow. I've never seen Joe Judge that angry. Actually, I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone that angry. Have you seen video of this at all, Brayton, by any chance on Twitter? Everything gets out on Twitter, right?
I have not seen video
I haven't
of it.
Either. I'm not going to guess, right? The Giants, every team films their entire practice with multiple cameras because they've got to break every piece of action on the practice field. I need the Giants to tweet this out with natural sound. I mean, you can bleep it. You know, I mean, you can go ahead or just give a not suitable for all audiences warning when you tweet out the video. I need to see the brawl, but I need to see Joe, need to hear Joe Judge, and I need to see an entire football team running goal line to goal line while Joe Judge is blowing his whistle and yelling expletives at him. What an amazing scene at Giants camp yesterday. When we get back, nothing like that happened at Bills camp, just basic practice. We will talk about a number of Bills things with our Bills reporter, Mr. Sal Capaccio. He's coming up in a moment. If you have a question about camp, don't ask about who's getting specific reps at what position because that can't be answered. But if you have some questions about the Bills, Sal's the guy. You can call us now, and Brayton will reserve your spot, 803-0550. More football talk, 9 o'clock this morning. We will be joined by Odyssey NFL insider Armando Salguero. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.